It's not often that we have a chance to come together for a Sunday Mass on the 4th of July. Usually 4th of July occurs during the week at some particular point, and we may have some reflections from time to time on the thoughts that come up with the 4th of July. This is not going to be a political sermon, and I'm forbidden by the church to go into a bunch of politics in the pulpit. And in many cases, with the situation that's going on today, I think people get, we've heard enough politics and at some particular point get tired with it. But in true spirit of patriotism for our country, which, as I said earlier, is praying for the conversion for our government, our own fellow citizens, conversion to the works of God and the way that things should be, what I'd like to do today is just review some of the points of what we mean by this point of conversion, praying for conversion. Again, setting aside of politics, but looking at the principles that are there in the point of America and ourselves from that, especially as a government, it affects the people. Pope Leo XIII recognizes that where our governments that overemphasize the rights of man and de-emphasize the rights of God do no favor to its citizens. They take every point of proper government, proper understanding in government, where true peace is to be found, and harmony among all of its members, where true dignity is to be found in each one, it's taken away where the work of God is de-emphasized. And don't we see that going on today more and more? Whatever concept, whatever notion was in the minds of the founders of our fathers over 200 years ago when they founded this great experiment in liberty called America, whatever it was, whatever they thought, wherever it would go, under nature's God, the grand architect of the universe, I don't think that they had any plan idea in mind that the liberties that are being taken today are what they expected to be done in the name of government, a point of governing people, to the point that if you do have and lead a moral life, it's going to get to the point that you are going to be going contrary to so many points of government, or in my particular case, if they start to outlaw the fact that I can speak out against sin, and particularly certain public sins, I don't care if they allow them by law, gay marriage, gay rights, things of that nature, that if I preach against in the pulpit, the laws will come that I could be take the tax exemption status away from us and be able to put me in jail for doing such things. It's a law I can't obey because it's a law that's not right. It's not based on the work of God. And yes, that's where we've come to today. You see, Pope Leo XIII, he was one of the popes over 100 years ago who really wrote a lot in several encyclicals on good government, proper government there. He warned about the dangers in a democracy in which respect for the dignity of man under God was not upheld. If all the thoughts were upon man, his rights, and things like that, to the point that the will of the people is the rule of law, and that bit by bit over periods of time, when the will of the people starts to denigrate to the point that it does not reflect the will of God, but it is a will that is based on freedoms toward lust, freedoms toward giving in to whatever I wish to speak and things like that, and pushing an envelope more and more and more and more. That's the system where our government has gone so far right now. And it is not for the good, it's not for the best in any particular way. That's the warning the Pope had put out. There is this inherent problem with citizens that we are all men. We are all weak. We're all fickle. We are all under the burden of original sin and then the darkness, the blindness that comes from personal sin. Because of that darkness and blindness, because of that fickleness of men, if we leave it to men to govern themselves, then over generation after generation after generation, that blindness shows its effect in every particular way. And step by step, we start to see laws protecting immorality, which would never have been considered, especially at the time of our foundation of our country. We see all of these things taking place, and it's because the true dignity of man under God has been taken away. And the true recognition for man in his weakness, keeping those points in check, has not been what has upheld government at any point. Let me use an analogy. Using St. Paul's epistle today, that will help, I hope, to be able to see what I'm talking about here with the point of government, this idea of democracy. Pope Leo XIII remarks that there can be a point of democracy. If that's what people choose to have for their system of government under them, then it is allowable in the church. But it has to keep this part of God in mind, the God who has revealed himself through Jesus Christ, as well as all the true dignity of man and his moral nature. If democracy doesn't have that, then it's going to be a corrupting and corruptible form of government. Again, the analogy. St. Paul writes and reminds us in the epistle for today about the inherent weakness that you and I have as a result of sin. Because of sin, original sin, actual sin, because points of following our passions, the passions that lead us away from God, where I start making excuses for sin, blaming it on other people, saying I just couldn't help it. I don't turn enough to God in prayer, and if I do pray to God, it's in such a distracted manner, then no wonder it is that I continue in sin and in bad habits. St. Paul tells us that we have to die to that sin. There's a principle here. Dying to sin means that I recognize this sin is a sin. It's an offense against God, and it takes away my true dignity as a child of God. Therefore, I must stop it. I must die to it. This is what he means by it. If we don't die to sin, we will never rise to God in this life and especially in the next. We become slaves, as he tells us today. That sin rules over us. People come and say, Father, why is it I've got this particular fault? I pray and I pray and I pray. I can't overcome this. I'm always angry, always giving into temptations and purity. I can't help it. I just want to steal things or whatever. Well, you know, if you once recognize that these are sins and you die to them, means I'm not going to compromise with them anymore. I'm going to make sure that they are not a part of my life anymore. They are done in my life now, here, today. I'm not going to be fickle. Oh, Father's right. I've got to change. I'm going to die to sin. I'm not going to do that anymore, of course. And then 2 days from now, fall right back into it. And by next Sunday, say, Father said what? The fickleness of man. We know what's the best thing for us morally, to get rid of sin from our lives, actually get rid of it. And it is possible to do it by the grace of God. It is possible to get strengthened more and more, to die to sin, to live to Christ. It is possible. The saints show us that. Good, holy people around us show us that. So why is it there are so many among us who are so weak? Because they're afraid to die to sin. They're attached to the things within them that are good pleasure to them, good feelings that come along, freedoms. I have a right to do that. I've got a right to do this. If it's an offense against God, we do not have those rights. And so you see, for our own best welfare, to die to sin, to live to Christ, this is the right thing to do. Taking that now to what we're considering for our country, to teach people to die to sin, to live to God, to practice virtue. Not just throwing a ton of money after social welfare programs, but to actually lead people to points of virtue. Help them to understand what is evil and wrong in their lives. And as a government, in that way, seek for the good of their people based on the revelation of God himself through Jesus Christ. There is where true government is to be found. There is where the good, the best things we can have for our citizens. But unfortunately, that's not where our government is today. And rather than bemoan it, rather than say our solution is in this political party or this or that or whatever, those will be partway to it, but all that, anything of that particular nature, has to be founded upon God and the works of God and things of God. And here's where we come to the point of praying for the conversion of our country. We all have an obligation of praying for the conversion of sinners. That obligation comes at baptism. But extends also now for our own particular country. Patriotism is a virtue found in the fourth commandment, to honor thy father and thy mother, to respect authority, but also to have love for the country of my birth and where I reside. Patriotism isn't waving flags and shooting off fireworks, although you better not shoot off fireworks in the city of Spokane. They get fined. But that's not necessarily patriotism. It's one expression of it. But patriotism is to wish the best for my country, its spiritual welfare, its goodness in that way. And not enough of us are doing that. Oh, yeah, 4th of July, we're going to pray for my country. Yes, good idea. Pray for the conversion of my nation. Find that. Patriotism rules should rule our hearts and souls every day of our lives. It isn't sufficient just one day a year to pray for America and its conversion, for its leaders, even if they are corrupt. In fact, charity demands of us that even the more corrupt our rulers are, we pray for them all the more, so they can see the error of their ways and our country can be ruled in the right manner. But no, what do people end up doing? Not praying for their rulers. More darkness comes upon the land. We get more and more immorality in point of government and guidance for people. And we sit back and complain instead of talking to God. Oh, but Father, this will be, I can see it in the faces. It's a typical part of human nature that's not based a lot on faith as it should be. But, Father, what do you mean? Do you think, well, the 300 and some odd million people here in the government, the way it's going, all this, that if I say some prayers, it's going to change anything? That's impossible. How can it work in that way? Let's look at today's gospel. 4,000 people had followed Jesus out from Capernaum and all that, out into what they call the desert, the northeast region of the Lake of Galilee. It was a beautiful area with grass and things like that. Followed him out to there. But the closest town was probably 25 miles away. There they settled, listened to him. It was coming toward the end of the day, and Jesus wanted to send them home. But he had more compassion on them than that, just to say, leave, get away. I need to be alone with my apostles. He knew that they hadn't eaten all day, and many had traveled from 60, 70, 80 miles away. They will faint in the way if he sends them home now. He wants to feed them. And so he turns to his apostles and say, we need to feed these people before they go. And, you can hear it in what St. Mark records today. You can hear it in their voices. What? What? We only have enough food for ourselves. We didn't bring food for another people. The closest place to buy bread is about 20 miles away. And we don't have enough money even to go and buy bread and come back. Do you realize just how impossible this is to feed these people for just so little? And so, here it is. The apostles, the ones who follow Jesus, the ones who are supposed to have that spirit of faith, the ones who will say that have heard he'll be able to cast out devils, he's curing the sick, he's doing all of these things here, but they don't have enough faith in him when he says, we need to feed these people before they go home. No, it is impossible. You don't know what you're asking for. But he continues to ask, how much do we have? What food do we have? 7 loaves of bread and a few fish over here. That didn't stop him. He didn't say and start worrying and saying, boy, I don't know if we can do this or not. He knew he had the power. And he wanted to get confidence back in the hearts of his apostles. Because only then would they be good apostles, true apostles, if they worked around him with a spirit of faith and stopped their practical doubting. And so we see in the gospel story, this is one occasion. 4,000 are fed miraculously. There's another time when 5,000 are fed. God wants this. And when he wants it, he will work a miracle if there are enough people of faith around him who want him to exercise that. He will work a miracle to accomplish what he wishes. We know God's will in the area of government for the good of people, for the good of their souls, to help them towards salvation, to take care of them, protect them in society with just laws. We know that is the will of God. And if our country is not accomplishing that, then it's up to you and I to pray. But here's again, these people like those apostles, what can we do? We're just a few people here. We just mumbled a few prayers. Even if I say a few prayers today, looking out around, no, it's still the same corrupt government out there. I've got to wait for this election. I've got to do these things here. Why should I pray right now or at any time? Because it's too much. It's too big. And so we mumble on and stumble on in that lack of faith. And God's will is not accomplished by those who have walked with Jesus, who have listened to His words, who have seen the effects of His grace in their own hearts. They don't do what they should, and God's will isn't being accomplished. We got to stop that at some point. We have to stop being these faithless people when we pray. That we pray with conditions or only set our own limits on it. Who are we to set limits upon God? Who are we? Human creatures with our own human limits saying God is only no better than my limits? Hogwash. The God I believe in, the God I worship and serve, has far greater power and abilities and love than anything measured by human standards. It is not impossible. In fact, in the Scriptures we're told that nothing is impossible to God. Nothing! Translate that word. Nothing! Zero! Nothing is impossible to God. God doesn't work because we limit Him. Not because He doesn't have the power to do it. We limit Him. We don't show we have enough faith, enough desire and love for our fellow man. We don't have enough strength of heart and soul to pray with unbounded confidence. We pray with faith. It's human. It's limited. Only by how much I want to pray, the time I want to give to it, and how much I think probably will work, and after a while, I've been praying this way now for a while and nothing's happened, so therefore I'll go on and do some other things. That's why God doesn't work. That's why our land the way it is. Because we who know better, we who serve the God who has revealed Himself and which our nation should be following, we who do that do not practice it in our lives. We suffer from weakness of heart and soul. We don't have enough, we don't have the strength, the real faith that real true believers of God have. We don't have that. We push envelopes. We make excuses. We keep falling into sin. We are slaves to sin instead of having the liberty of the children of God. We've limited ourselves, made our prayers in that way. And in that manner, understand this well, understand that when we live that way, we limit what God will do. Limit in this manner. Why should God help us if we don't prove to Him that we deserve to be helped? Why should our nation be blessed and converted if we only give a half-hearted effort to pray and sacrifice to that end? God won't take us seriously if we won't take it seriously. So there's our thoughts for today. Today, this Mass is being offered for the conversion of America. After Mass, we're going to be praying the prayer for the conversion of America. Please, with your heart and soul, pray. Make this an earnest prayer. And make it, if you don't pray enough for our country, make this the day on which you start. The daily prayer for our country, for its leaders, citizens. Stop complaining about the politics. Start talking to God. Because God ultimately is the only solution to all the problems of today. Not the God of the Freemasons, not the God that was set before our country in the beginning, but the true God. There's the source of everything in which our country can find its best in its greatest time. And we who recognize that need to pray to that end. Make that a resolution for today, and please God, keep it up for the rest of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.